Blog Talk Radio.
Ain't no stopping us now.
vocabulary to others. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. There are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. One is the word all. We don't want some of our rights. We don't want a few token handouts here and there. We want all of our rights. There are some people who say that we need to go back to Africa. And there are some others who tell Negroes in the South, leave the South. You can't be free, so get out. But down in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia, South Carolina, we are saying something else. We want all of our rights, and we want all of our rights here in Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina. Voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in conversation time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, no, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here. We want all of them, not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what we're saying.
What your life can truly be, shining star for you to see. What your life can truly be.
This is the Black Business Billionaires Network Club with your host, the man himself, the man with the plan, the creator, the man. He's just a God, I'm losing words. I got to get a PhD, a book from Harvard or something to describe this brother, the man himself, nobody, no other, but Mr. Shalik Reed, and we're going to bring him on right now.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? How you doing? Glad to be here. Thankful that I'm alive. Dr. Robinson, excuse me, pardon me, you know.
No, listen, I'm Ron. I'm Ron. I tell people to call me Ron, a.k.a. The sharecropper son from South Carolina. You know,
I'm trying to,
when you carry listen, so many titles, listen, brother, and you got so many, you know, whatever it is, people expect a lot, and a lot of times you can't deliver all the time. So I'd rather undersell and over-deliver, you know?
Nah, you know what? That's a proven fact. I heard that saying before, man, and I believe that you did say that before, man, because when you undersell, you never have to worry about meeting the expectations. No one can, you know, but when you oversell and don't produce, people say, damn, you never met the expectations, and then they begin to want to criticize and judge, man. But, you know, we're here, you know, and that's what's most important is that, you know, we're alive, man. We have to learn to value the things that's important. A lot of times we get caught up in the society, the ranting and raving, and we forget, you know, and it's funny that you said, we forget who we are, man. We forget. I remember, and first of all, before I even go any further, I just want to just say to all the listeners out there, all the viewers and everybody, I want to just thank y'all, man. I want to thank God, man, for all y'all's support, man, because it's y'all who make the program. It's y'all that count, you know. Y'all make the difference. And so I just want to say, man, everybody give yourselves a round of applause, man, for taking a step in a direction that's positive and productive. Yes, 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 yes. So, you know, and I want to basically, you know, put others first, and no, put God first, others for the second, and put myself last, man. Most of all, I want to now, you know, give a shout out to all the Neo Nation community members. You know, Jaquan Diaz, Mr. Wimborn, Mr. Hill, and all the other supporters whose name I haven't mentioned here tonight. Oh, tonight we should have a special guest tonight by the name of Mr. William Smith, who is he's running for judicial district leader in East Harlem, and he should be coming in shortly if he's not here already. However, he's going to be talking about his experiences in trying to run for judicial district leader and trying to educate and his role in trying to help the Lakeside view, Lakeside members of the community and Harlem as a whole. But, you know, he's targeting and focused on one thing at a time. He wants to educate the community, the members of the community, about the importance of voting and the aspect of why the Democrats are not bringing certain issues to the table and why they don't, such as security pertaining to public housing. They're not bringing those issues to the forefront. And he has extensive experience in terms of volunteer services that he's committed his damn near his whole life to service in the community. And so he understands the importance and the power of what votership entails and putting people in positions that need to service the well-being of the members of the community. So he should be arriving shortly. Basically, in a nutshell, do you have anything on the agenda, Dr. Robinson?
Oh, no, that's great. Mr. William Smith and his political, economic, and social agenda sounds wonderful. We need more people in the political scene that has a heart for the people. I always say that I like it when I hear politicians say, this is personal. I'm a part of this. This could happen to me. You know, I like when they get understanding that we all in this together. It's no big I's and small U's. We all here together, and everybody is needed, all foot's on the ground. And Mr. William Smith sounds like he's going to make a wonderful district leader, and he's going to put some fire behind the political arena in Harlem, which Harlem is special to me because I grew up in Harlem. As people will notice, what that song, those couple of little brothers and sisters used to say, I'm a little bit country and I'm a little bit rock and roll. Well, I actually grew up in Harlem simultaneously growing up in South Carolina. So I know it's hard for y'all, but my parents came to Harlem and at the age of 18, bought a grocery store and a restaurant, and we had a railroad apartment right behind the grocery store. And so we were growing up in Harlem, and we were growing up in South Carolina, and we were spending summers and whatnot in Harlem, and Harlem is dear to me. I was born, I'm going to tell y'all a little secret here. I was born in Bellevue Hospital, Manhattan. On my way back to South Carolina, my mother couldn't, you know, water bus, whatever that deal is, and we had to run straight to the hospital. And Bellevue's not only a crazy hospital, y'all, it's got a good maternity ward too. So don't get it twisted. But you know, people think Bellevue is crazy. And I always thought the same thing. Now I gotta explain myself.
Yeah, you stigmatize. Once you say Bellevue, and say, I got to watch him. He might be that's all just, I'm listening.
Because they used to, back in the day when I was a kid, you know, when people were acting out on the street, they used to run up, guys in white coats would run up in with straitjackets and tie the person up and take them to Bellevue. So it was common knowledge that Bellevue was a mental health hospital. People did not know it was a general medical practice as well as they have one of the excellent maternity wards If you want to, go to a great place and have your children, it's a great place for maternity as well. But you know, so people get it twisted. But anyway, on my way back to South Carolina, and here I come. Water bus, boom. My dad drives into Bellevue, the nearest hospital, and back. And here I am now today. So my birth certificate is in New York, Manhattan, New York. We lived in Manhattan, New York. As a matter of fact, my dad and my mom lived down around 14th Street, and then they moved up to Harlem. But, you know, so I just grew up simultaneously in Harlem and South Carolina, and love South Carolina as well. Love the experience being like a kid on a farm with horses, pigs, cows, dogs, you know, snakes.
Yeah, that's nice.
Alligators.
That's
nice. Bears.
Yeah, nah, that's beautiful. I'm gonna wait till you finish because I got a lot to say about that. I think that's excellent. Go ahead, Dr. Robinson, because
okay.
That's excellent. People talk about that,
yeah,
but
go
that's
ahead.
A good experience. No, I'm just saying I wanted to just emphasize because you know it's funny how I don't care what city, you see, because cities are created in terms of, you know, for employment and industrial purposes. A lot of people in every city, I don't care if it's New York City, I don't care if it's the city of Chicago City, it's always this mentality that the people that come from the rural areas or the South or the country, they're slow. You see what I'm saying? And the reality of the matter is that they got more up and more in tune with nature, and they have more up in terms of agricultural, cultivating the land and understanding. If listen, you put me out there right now, if there is no concrete jungle, I don't know how I'm going to survive. I'm used to buying fruits and vegetables. So you know, I'll be wrapped up, man. So I just want to let you go and then continue.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a little secret. I didn't know about candy until I was about 12. I mean, I know about candy when I came to Harlem and stuff like that, but I mean, really got exposed to it. You know, I mean, I saw it, but I didn't pay attention. Maybe I'm just, you know, one of them kids that want to get beat all the time. You know, but you know, it's a one. You know, back in the day when I was growing up until the 90s, people from New York always sent their kids, especially when the kid was acting out and acting bad. Parents would send their kids down south to another, you know, to a family member in the South. And that was like getting the kid straightened out. You know, he sent him to his grandfather, his grandmother, his old auntie, his old uncle. And those people down South had the way of bringing that, because I was angry. All kids were angry at some point. But those people down South, the way they raise you, the way they deal with you, it brings something out of you. Maybe it's the fresh air, maybe it's the environment, but it changes who you are. And like you say, connected to the soil, connected to the land. And the Bible says, sow your seeds, put your seeds on good soil so you shall harvest a good harvest. And that's basically symbolic of saying, put your children in good things, people. Put them into art. Put them into classical music. Get their minds open to, and that's what Brother Shalik is saying. Open their mind, you know, put them, take them upstate New York to a summer camp. You know, expose them to other things. You know, take your kids. You know, New York have so much to offer, the Smithsonian, the art museums, Carnegie Hall. I mean, if you really a well-rounded person, I'm not better than nobody, but I was well-rounded. I know good wines. I know good art. I was exposed to the theater, exposed to classical music, exposed to opera, exposed to things of that nature. And even down in South Carolina, one of the great, you know, black opera singers of the current system, I forgot her name, the original one that started, African-American lady that started, the greatest opera singer in the world, bar none. It'll come to me, but the one that was after her, many years after her, Leontine Price, is from Charleston, South Carolina. And when you go to Charleston, Charleston's a very cultured place. So you find a different type of that's right. Black Southerner. I'm from what they call the Dirty South. You know, which I don't know that entailed, but
dirty.
I'm from.
That's right.
Dirty, yeah, man. Dirty. You know, I'm talking about the fields, the cotton, the horses, the cows. You know, things I just said before. I'm from that South. I'm from the real country. You know what I'm saying? But it was all good. And then I love Harlem. I love Harlem was a mecca. Of culture for me, the black bookstores, the African bookstore, the historical information for jazz music, you know, and things of that sort. So I was exposed in Harlem to a lot of culture, music, art, of black awareness, black pride, you know, the Nation of Islam, some of the greatest preachers would speak out in the street, and you get to hear them talk, and you get to experience that whole social movement. So there's
That's
so much
right.
to say about being from South Carolina, being in Harlem. I just had praise God for my parents that exposed me to a lot of stuff. My father's a jazz singer, so he exposed me to a lot of things that I would not have been exposed to, and my mom as well. And, you know, made me a well-rounded person now that I can go places. I've been halfway around the world. I speak several languages. I taught English in several foreign countries. And I had an experience. You know, I praise God for that. You know, it's no way, people. It's no way. And I'm not special with people. I'm not better than nobody. I'm not the smartest cat in the room. I'm not the richest cat in the room. But I'm the hardest working cat. I work hard. You know, for what I got. And that's what, and at the Black Business Billionaires Network Club, that's what it's about. We're here to get you started. I say, if you want to be a hundred-near, a thousand-near, a millionaire, a billionaire, you got to start somewhere. So here's where you can start in the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. We want to help you get where you're going. I know in the beginning, everybody knew that the purpose of the Black Business Billionaires Club is to develop business in our local communities. We're going to do that. We got our brother now, Shalik, with us, and he's just a dynamic young man, and he goes around the city, and he knows everybody. So we're going to start, our brother Shalik, we're going to start developing businesses. We're going to start supporting businesses. We're going to help you get loans. We're going to start that. You know, we had a little slow start. Pandemic came in. Things stopped happening. There was some social issues with the Black Lives Matter. We had to get involved in, you know, so things sort of shifted. But we're going to definitely get back on track. My vision, and I'm praying to God that the Black Business Billionaires Network Club will be a vanguard for change for our community, to take our brothers and sisters back to another level so our children can grow up in a society that God wants them to grow up in. So we'll keep it there. But I see a number here just came up. Hopefully that's Mr. William Smith.
Is it a 751?
It's a 111, but sometimes people do that for purposes, you know.
Okay,
so we're gonna open
it
up. We're gonna open up. It's 11111. Your mic is open. Can you hear us? 11111. Well, your mic is open. Are you muted? You can unmute yourself as well.
Yeah, they probably not aware.
Yeah,
there may be.
You know, I get, but there's a call that comes in sometime too. To be honest with you, 11111111111. I don't know how the people configure that up. That's a strange number, but sometimes people do that because, you know, in his field, sometimes he doesn't want anybody to have his telephone number, you know, because of his, you know, what he has
like
to do and things of that nature.
Security.
So I thought that was him.
Yeah.
But we'll keep looking. We'll keep looking, and as soon as Mr. Smith comes in, I'm definitely give you the signal and let you know and bring him on in, and then you can proceed with your interview and your discussion with him. But I just want to say this. The Black Business Billionaires Network came out of growth out of a concept. This show used to be called, God, I forgot what it used to be called now. Oh, man. The Business Brothers Network. The Business Brothers Network. That's what the first name of the club was, because I was competing with Miss Sharon Steele, who had the Girlfriends Business Network. So the brother that was married to the young lady who was in the Girlfriends Network, she was coming on the radio and she was bragging about how all they were doing all these businesses and they were being very successful. And hands down, sisters, I love y'all. Y'all are doing it. Sisters are bad. I mean, sisters, you know, and I got 4 boys and 2 girls, but I'm telling you, girls, you, black sisters, y'all, you, my hands out to you. Y'all are just, y'all, I mean, anything y'all put your hands out, y'all just so successful. Give yourself a hand.
Yeah.
Gotta give
them
a shot, brother. You know, James Brown had a song. James Brown had a song back in the late 60s, said this is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl.
Without a woman.
And that's
true. Right.
That's so true, you know. And so we got to recognize our sisters. We got to recognize what they're doing. Brothers, appreciate your mothers. Love your mothers. Love your wife. Love your children. Love your girls, you know, because some girls get misled because of lack of love from the father. You know, I know the mother and the girl might have a connect, but sometimes the father's not connected with his girls. And I would advise, as a father myself of girls, I would advise that you connect with your girls. That's very important. That motherly love is always there. It never goes away. It's such a wonderful thing as well. But that father love is so important to young men and young women, but women specifically. Because women derive their sense of self and relations to other men through the father, as strange as that may sound. But because kids, men, and you know, we basically don't realize this, but we marry the person that's the closest to, you know, most men date or marry women closer to his mother style. And a lot of women do the same as well. But it's just good to have a rounded, a round and balanced relationship with both parents, if it's possible. If it's not, young people, I would always tell you this: find a mentor, find someone. Either I know a lot of people have their teachers as mentors, their ministers as mentors, community workers as mentors, and just somebody good in the community as a mentor. You know, an older person that you can humbly and respectfully talk to with respect, because older people will go out of their way to help a respectful child and a child that looks like they want to do something. The community will come and support. I've seen this with my eyes in Harlem and in South Carolina, where people came together to give money for a child to go to college and university because that child was so talented. And that's the way of the black community. You know, that's when we talk about the concept of a village to raise a child. That's part of it, is to support that child financially, physically, mentally, and spiritually. That's what the community brings into the child. We feed into the children. I am a product of South Carolina and Harlem. I'm a product of the brothers and sisters that in Harlem that told me to do the right thing. I remember Harlem was so tremendously proud, man. Brothers would be on drugs, and they would see kids playing around near them, and they would say, get away, go on to school. Why are you in school? I know your mother. Go home. You know, they were trying to encourage you to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And brothers back then, those days, would encourage you not to get involved in gangs and drugs and all these things, and they would continue to. And that's what the village needs. We need more men and women, especially men. Men are the driven force in the community, in the villages. Men are the warriors, and men carry the community. They carry the family. That's our responsibility. That's how we were built. God created us first, and he gave us dominion, and then he created the woman as a helpmate, somebody to assist together, work together, side by side. Not behind you, not in front of you, but right next to you, helping you. And when you find a good woman, the Bible said when a man finds a good wife, he finds a good thing. When you find a good woman, it's nothing like a good woman supporting you, being around you, being with you. I've had, you know, three, you know, And maybe more than that, I'm talking about my wives now, but I'm saying even my girlfriends before that just had good, I just always had, I was always very friendly with women. Women were my friend. Nothing going on but the rent, no romance or nothing like that, but just good friends. And we would call each other and encourage each other, and I find myself in a good position because women mentored me. Women gave me that support and that push. You know, when a man hear a woman say, oh, you can do it, you can do it, oh, yeah, you're good, oh, you're talented, you feel good. You feel like you can do it, even if you can't do it and they're just lying to you, you know. You feel like you can do it, you know. So it's a tremendous thing, but women and men do the same thing for women as well. So the Black Business Billionaires Network was created out of the Brothers Business Network. And the primary focus is, and I know I talk a lot about political, socioeconomical, and what happened in the past, because I want you young brothers and sisters to understand what I went through so you can avoid it, or you can see it and be compassionate about it to help make a change. But the general ideology of the Black Business Billionaires Network Club was, it was established to establish businesses in our community. And God blessed me with Shalit. I never said it to him. I never told him this. But it's a blessing to have a young brother because I can't run all over the – Shalit, you call him, yeah, man, what's up? Oh, I'm over here. You know, he's very energetic. Yeah. He got a lot of stamina. And he's going to be a perfect fit. When we get this thing organized properly, he's going to be a perfect fit for us to move forward and for us to put black businesses up in the community. And I want to see a lot of black businesses. I want to try my best to hook up with the black farmers, with Reverend Amos, who is starting to do organic farming. And he's going to sell the fruits and vegetables cheap. And he wanted to bring it up to New York, bring it up to Chicago, all the big cities, and have, and we're going to open up supermarkets, if you will, that will have cheap, organic, fresh fruits and vegetables sold according to their season. Not out of season, not before season, not around the season, but in their season. So it's going to be a fantastic development, and we need young brothers like our brother Shalit, you know, to come and do it. You know, it's my time to pass on the baton to someone, to some ones, many people as possible, young brothers who really got it going on. And also shout out to the brothers. You know, you brothers, you young brothers, man, y'all are doing it. Give y'all a shout out, too. Sometimes, Shalit, people underestimate the young black man. My brother, Biggie Smalls said misunderstood, you know. I don't want to misunderstand my young black brothers, and I want to tell you I love y'all. And I just want to see y'all successful. I just want to see y'all billionaires and millionaires living, you having your big homes and just have a successful. I love, you know something about me? I always want to be, I hate being a losing team. I was a bad loser in school. I was a bad loser on teams. I couldn't even gamble because I was just a bad loser. I didn't like to lose. I always want to win. And when I see young brothers like you, Shalit and other young brothers out there doing stuff, man, in terms of our African-American community, I feel like, damn, we are winning. We are winning, and I'd like to continue that winning success. Okay, the number is back again. I'm going to see if I can get the person to open up. 11111, are you there? Are you there, 1111? Okay,
they might be getting bad. Oh, that's crazy, you know, because the good news now, there was another good news. I came across a brother like maybe a few days ago, and what happened was they were giving out tracks for someone who was running for like some type of office, like I think he was like a pastor of a church, and one of the brothers, you know, it just so happened that I was asking for some directions, and a brother was telling me, he says, yo, man, I'm not from around here, but I'm actually doing this. I'm a part of this church, and I'm doing this for the pastor of the church, and he's running for a position. I think it was like district or something like that. And I said, wow, man, that's excellent, man. I love to hear and see that brothers are doing something positive and productive in their life, man. And so another brother pulled out, every brother, every set, and he started talking. And he was giving out the trash. And he was like, yeah, man, you know, I seen you talking to the brother. I said, yeah, man, so I want to invite y'all to, you know, to the Neo Nation Blog Talk radio station. And y'all can possibly talk about, you know, how you feel in terms of doing a service to the community and helping to distribute this information about someone who is seeking to serve the community and so on and so forth. And so he says, yo, man, it's excellent. So she says, ask both of them. And, you know, he said, yeah, man. I said, well, tell me your background. Give me a little background, you know, information about you. So the heavy set brother was like, yo, man, I'm a paralegal. And I said, wow, that's excellent. I said, because the Neo Nation, they're looking to hire paralegals for a legal department in terms of different types of law, research, and you can also contact, about the Block Talk Radio / Neo Nation, and you can call in Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. I said the show also provides financial literacy and investment education towards growing your finances and, you know, educating you in terms of how to make good long-lasting investment. And then I brought to his attention about Quicksters and my project Neo and Reap More Network. And he's like, yo, that's excellent. So basically the point that I'm driving home is that I'm hoping that he would actually call in to, because, you know, it's funny. This is the funny thing about it. He was like, yo, man, I heard of that name before. He said, ain't that the brother that talk about, you know, us uniting as black people? He talks about the black issues. I said, yeah, that's the brother, man. That's the brother. You got to call up there, man. Stop playing games, man. He said, yo, man, I'm going to do my best to call, man. You know, he says that paralegal position sounds good, man. He says, right now I'm looking, I got a little something I'm working on, but I finished school, man. He showed me his identification card. So once again, I'm hoping that that's a possibility that's that brother as well. You know,
great. You're making some great connections, and that's wonderful. And like I said, you know, the vision is starting to come to fruition. You know, it's starting to come to existence. I mean, you know, I'm a person, man. I'm, you know, I don't know if it's Gemini or whatever, but, you know, we got two personalities, so I guess we carry. And somebody was saying 28 personalities. I don't know how that works out. So, you know, they got to figure that one out. I can't handle. I had a truth up for me. Dig where I'm coming from?
Yeah,
I told my wife. She said, "Well, you know, my wife told me one time. She said, "Well, you know, you got these two personalities." I said, "Well, look." I said, "Good." I said, "Now you got two men in one." You know, you never get bored, right? You never get bored. Dig where I'm coming from? But
that's right.
I'm energetic, man, and you know me, brother. You know me. You know, I'm always coming up with ideas. And the thing about it, I was telling sister today, I said it frustrates me because I come up with ideas so quickly, and most people can't keep up with me. So they're like, what, when, you know, and I'm a businessman at heart, and Gemini is one thing about us. We'll step out. We're not fearful to step out. We're going to take a chance. You know what I'm saying? If I like a business, if I like a person, I ain't going to try to figure out all his history, what he did. I like what he said. I like his spirit. I like his personality, you know, and I'm willing to throw my money out there and get it done. You know what I'm saying? If it hurt, if it worked, beautiful. If it don't work, at least if I encourage the brother or the sister to continue with what they're doing, then that was a good purpose. They were saying, in psychology, they were saying in order to organize a person with a mentally developmental problem, right? A lot of people are mentally developmentally slow, and y'all see them sometimes. They said in order to get them organized, give them a small task that you know they can complete and be successful, and give them praise after they succeed at the task. That encouraged them to do more. You know, and if you go to Walmart, if you go to factories, you'll find mentally challenged brothers and sisters, I believe that's a political correct term or whatever it is, mentally challenged brothers and sisters doing jobs in Walmart, in factories, and doing small little jobs. They do the same job. They don't change. Because one thing about them, they're consistent. If you tell them, take these books and pile them over there, take these books now, pile them over there, and you know, they want, and they're the type of workers, man. I'm telling y'all, you better watch out. If nobody don't tell them to take a lunch, I've owned factories before. I had them work for me. If I didn't say take a lunch, they will keep working up until the time is ready to go home. That's the only time they will stop, brother, when they know it's 5 o'clock, because everything to them is like clockwork. They know 9 o'clock they come to work. They know 5 o'clock they go home. But I had to get them consistent with, okay, 12 o'clock you take your lunch break, from 12 to 1, you know, that kind of thing, you know, because it's regulated as well. You can't work.
Yeah.
A lot of companies didn't know people have to have a lunch, whether it's a half an hour, an hour, and they have to have a coffee break, 15 minutes in the morning or something like that. So these are things that, you know, is regulated by the Labor Department. But I'm just saying that one thing I found about them, they are on time, you know, and they're willing and able. They're, you know, they're RWA, you know, ready, willing, and able. They want to work. They want to work, you know, and they're so excited to have an opportunity. They're excited. They're happy to have the job, you know, as opposed to people that are not in that same mental condition. So we here at the Black Business Billionaire Networks Club, you know, I've been, you know, solo for a while, had some brothers with me, and, you know, things happened with their children, their family, the pandemic, da da da, and they had left, and God blessed me with Brother Chalik, like I said, and we're going to go forward. You know, I got a lot of things in my head. I got to clean up some, you know, I do run a business. I run a business, international finance, and it's very, very busy. It's a business where there is no day the same as the next day. You know, I don't have a standard day. My day in my business, it could be slow, it could be fast, it could be up, it could be down. I can get 5 calls, 10 calls. You know, it's just the way the business is. I love it because it connects with my personality, with my characteristics of a Gemini, multitasking, doing many, many things. And I love to see the success of my business. I love to see businesses growing. And that's what I've said to myself. If I can grow small businesses now, I've been doing these big businesses across the world. Now if I can do small businesses in the Black community, put people back to work, because we all know the largest employer of people of color is small businesses, mom-and-pop shops in the community. That's what's going to employ them. And that's a step to other things. See, once you get into the momentum and the excitement of work and business, it brings you to another level. You know, it brings you up to another level. Well, in that discussion of the Black billionaires and everything, I'm going to bring on Ronaway Robinson. He always comes on and have something good to contribute.
Hey, my brother.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
Are you saying Scorpios are mentally challenged or what?
I said they had so many problems, and I met Ronaway Robinson, who stole my name. I couldn't get the brother to look straight.
Yo, you know, that's funny that you said that, because I'm a Scorpio, so I might be a little challenged.
November 19th.
Mine's is October, you know?
Okay.
So I'm the 28th,
yeah,
you know? So
Ron, when is your birthday?
The 19th of November.
Okay.
I'm on the cusp of Sag and Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this cusp. Yeah, the horoscope cusp. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
You know, brother was telling me, oh man, I don't believe in all that stuff, you know. And I'm not saying I believe in it. Like, I'm running around reading the horoscope every day to find out which time the weather is going to change.
Yeah, me either.
But I was saying to the brother, they're just certain, because a girl really got me into it. I had a girlfriend. She just was into that thing like crazy. And she would say, oh, Ron, look what you did. You act like this, you know. So she sort of opened my eyes up to the similarities in the characteristics of what they were saying about Geminis. I had those characteristics. And so I said, okay, wow, that's, you know, for novelty, you know, type of thing, it sounds good. You know what I'm saying? So I just, and sometimes what I started doing is, you know, another thing a Gemini do, I meet people like you said, you know, your sign and Shalik said his sign. I'll start looking for characteristics in that sign of that person. Just the general stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, in the Bible, you know, you have astrology and astronomy are two different things. But there's a word that's in the Torah, I think it is. It's called Mazaron. And that means his word is written in the stars. You know, so the ancients took that pipe, you know, the Egyptians, Hebrews, and stuff like that. And even before that, came up with astronomy, which is different than astrology.
Right.
That's the biblical aspect of that. His word is written in the stars.
Well, you know,
that's powerful.
You know how the young people say, put it in the universe, put it out there.
Yes.
I didn't understand that concept in the beginning, but now I understand it. It's like you say, it's like saying something positive. You know what I'm saying? Like the Bible said, talk as if though as things exist. You know, I got that Cadillac. You know, it's outside. You know what I'm saying? Talk as if things exist and they shall come. You know, an old man, an old Jewish man told me, he said, I think it was a BMW or some kind of car. And he told me, he said, take the picture, put it all over your house. And he said, look at the picture every time you look at the picture and encourage yourself. And I did that. I ended up with a BMW with no gas, but you know, no joke, y'all.
You didn't think about the gas.
Right.
Exactly. You didn't think about the gas.
At least you got the car.
You know, but it is such a strange time. It is a time for reawakening, all right? And some of us who are not that educated in what that is, waking up. Some are waking up for the first time, you know, because of our miseducation. You know, where we are, you know, in life, in our communities, who for so long taught nothing, as some of us, you know, and so on. So I see this with all the turmoil and everything else like this. I see it as a glorious time in the life of our people. You just have to grab it. There's so much out there. There's so much out there. And the reawakening, people being woke, you know, some of us oldies, you know, have been asleep for a little while because we got complacent and stuff. And then when I see I call them kids because anybody under 40 is a kid to me. I see them coming through what I went through when I was 0.5, you know, in the Panthers and you know, so many other organizations, you know, Garveyism and stuff like that. And they're helping me to remember, you know. There's another thing in the Bible that says, do you remember? I think it's Solomon. Do you remember when you were my delight? You know, so if God is asking us to remember when we were with him, then that's before the foundation of the earth. You know, we're those people. We're people. You know? And we're thinking about things like that to keep us strong, you know, and focused. And, you know, the energy of learning, keep our brains moving, thinking. You know, these are all these things that we have to continue to do, pass it down even more so than we did to our children and grandchildren, nieces and nephews, our neighbors, and stuff like that, to make sure that they're woke.
Great,
you know,
great.
We had the seed to understand and we'll awaken at one point or another. But you cannot
push everything on everybody and figure that they understand. Some of the stuff you got to put on the shelf. And one day you wake up and say, wow, man, I hit that. You call it a revelation. And I, you know.
Amen. Well, we want everybody, as well. We want you to hold them thoughts. We want everybody to hold your seat. Stay where you at. Do not change that dial. We're going to have a commercial break. We're going to go into some public services announcements, and we're going to come back and talk more about the economic development and what the future holds for the Black Business Billionaires Network Club. People always ask me, what that's about, Black Business Billionaire? It's about you making some money and being successful. And I'm going to talk about how that's going to happen. We're going to have definitely going to have Dr. Winborn come on. We're going to get deep into the reparations program and how that's really technically the technological workings of it. So my brother, my sister, stay where you at. We're going to go into commercial break, and we shall be right back.
Entertainment worldwide. Network. We all live.
Yes, this is Lenny Williams. I'm out here in Oakland, California.
I'm Lisa Ray. I sign on a payment with NWA, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E.
It's Just Will, Black Pearl Entertainment artist, newly signed to I Am Jesus Records. You're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., CEO. Coming to you live, this is business, so pay attention.
Yo, it's your boy LV the Slap Thing, and I'm over here chilling with my guy, The Plug, Don Jr., CEO, Entertainment Worldwide Network Radio. You dig?
What's good, homie? This your boy, Big D.
It's your folk, Checking Traps.
This your piece, Captain Mac.
I let your boy, Boss Lena.
It's your boy, Brick Boy Rico.
It's your boy, Joe Dirt.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Buddha, a.k.a. Buddy Mouth.
Yo, what's good? This is Vic Percy Jones.
And Big Cell is now in your area.
Yo, this your boy, Mr. Hamston.
It's your girl, Lady Duet.
It's just Rich Gates.
This your bro, JT, Mr. Guaranteed the Rick.
Yo, this your dude, Insane G.
What up? This your boy, Jihad, a.k.a. J Hood.
Yo, this your folks, Young Birds.
Yo, this your folk, GB Cooney.
Yo, this is Mike G Jungle. Hey, what it do? It's your boy, Size Money.
This your boy, Big Chad Domingo.
Bye-bye. Salute the big dog.
This your boy, Jay Futuristic.
This your folk, Lil Raheem. You did.
I am Geronimo Beals. Off the deep end. Getting blessings. Wise Life Records. And you're listening to the Entertainment Worldwide Network with Don Jr., the CEO, coming to you live.
Hey, what it do? This is Charlie Boy, the Versatile Charlie.
You're listening to the hottest radio station.
Are you ready to be inspired, uplifted, enlightened, and entertained? Judge Joe Brown is an all-American judge, lawyer, and television personality. Judge Joe Brown was raised in the Crenshaw District of Los Angeles, California. Overcoming the harsh streets of L.A., he graduated at the top of his class from Dorsey High School. He then went on to earn his bachelor's degree in political science at UCLA. Judge Joe Brown is a member of the Phi Alpha fraternity and became the first African-American prosecutor in Memphis, Tennessee. He then opened his own practice before becoming a judge on the state criminal court of Shelby County, Tennessee. Judge Joe Brown was then thrusted into the national spotlight for sitting over James Earl's last appeal for race conviction for the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He then caught the attention of producers of Judge Judy and is now the arbiter of his own arbitration-based reality court TV show that has been recorded for over 16 years. This show is syndicated on Bounce and available to millions of homes across America. Judge Joe Brown has been on a mission to educate the leaders of the future and has started a movement titled Sag Pants Equals a Sag Mind. This is a call to action. Let's talk and change the world. Judge Joe Brown is ready to speak at your next event. Follow Judge Joe Brown at Judge Joe Brown TV on Twitter. This message has been brought to you by 2D, owner of KFSM Radio and Bloody Rain Productions, and Pastor Don Jr., CEO of The Winning Team. Contact 2D at 337-936-5176 or Pastor Don Jr. at 818-358-5722.
The NEO Project is a business network collective of professional CEOs, community leaders, doctors, recording artists, label owners, lawyers, judges, business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major connections across the globe. For more information, visit www.myprojectneo.org or call 800-249-8830. We have a live conference call. Join in the conversation hosted by Dr. Rev Robinson Sr. and Dr. Winborn. Share your ideas about growing your business. New ideas, featured partner, video promo, social media, exposure, rotation, profit sharing, meetups at your establishment. Join the conference call on Blog Talk Radio Thursday and Friday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Sunday, 7 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time, Live Talk with Eva. Call 347-857-1311. Press 1 to speak on freeconferencecall.com. Saturday, 12 p.m. East Coast, 4 p.m. West Coast time. Call into 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, hashtag T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, call 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. If you have Metro PCS, T-Mobile, or Boost Mobile, dial 206-451-6043. Then 515-604-9642. Access code 910488. Financial consulting and investments, call DSNR Consultants LLC Corporate Office 914-363-9007. Text 518-866-7605. Email RevRunRobinson, RevRun11@gmail.com. Shout out to Pastor Don, Jr. CEO, and Keisha Miss, CEO, the 300 Elite members, also 3 Max and a Nerd, and Andrea's Talent Management.
Fashion is so seductive, live.com. Log on to soseductivelive.com. So Seductive Live has the best apparel from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, Guess, Rolex, Nike, Tiana Michelle, True Religion, Louis Vuitton.
Greetings, I'm Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. I started my company to keep you informed. Log on to soseductivelive.com. I believe in fashion, so Seductive is fun and needs to be seen. I want to inspire people just like you. I want someone to look at me and say, because of you, I didn't give up. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com. I am Miss K, CEO and founder of So Seductive Shoes and Fashion. You can find me on your favorite social network at Keisha Miss CEO. Log on to SoSeductiveLive.com.
There's a lot to learn in the music business, and without a teacher, it gets even harder and very costly. Introducing the Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint. Don Jr., CEO of the Entertainment Worldwide Network, has put together a detailed book to take your career to the next level in the entertainment business. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint will teach you the do's and don'ts of the entertainment industry, starting from the beginning to the end. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint covers the topics of business plan, logo design, CD design layout, sales, radio airplay, CD marketing strategy, massive emailing, CD sales one sheet, press kit, media kit, online media kit, internet marketing, MP3 online distribution, hip-hop blog sites, hip-hop magazines, hip-hop DVDs, mixtapes, street teams, music publishing and royalties, music lawyers, tour booking, and more. The Green Dragon Record Breaking Blueprint is available only by contacting Don Jr., CEO, at 818-358-5722 or email donjrceo@gmail.com.
Do you need more exposure? Do you need more fans? Are you planning to be wealthy and successful in business? The 365 Days of Radio campaign is a business training program teaching you how to build your brand, business, product, or service. How to meet and network with people in other cities. How to make connections with other business owners. And how to talk about your business on an open platform. All the tools you need before you speak to investors, advertisers, and or sponsors. Are you ready to receive money and make it to the next level? Education is the key to success. And experience is the best teacher. Learn from the comfort of your own personal remote location. The 365-day radio campaign is a business training program. For business training, tuition, schedules, and fees, please call Pastor Don Jr., CEO, and the winning team at 818-358-5722. That's right, Pastor Don Jr., CEO of the winning team at 818-358-5722.
Network. We all live. We in your speakers. And on your mind. On your mind. 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. We on time.
Move around. Move around. Move around.
Hey, hey.
Move around. Move around. Move around.
dangerous times, and you never know when you'll need a lawyer. Introducing Legal Shield. Get legal help 24/7. For over 47 years, people from all walks of life have joined our community and our mission to empower and protect. Wait, there's more! Become a sales associate and watch your commission grow with every sale. We are working together to change the negatives into positives. Business owners, entrepreneurs, recording artists, and major corporations all across the globe. We focus on business education, advertising, so that everyone can see the return on their investment. Visit our website at robinsonir38.wearelegalshield.com. Or for more information, contact Dr. Ron Robinson at 914-363-9007 or 203-515-7167 or 914-530-5876. Again, visit us at our website at www.robinsonr38.wearelegalshield.com.
Yeah, and we're back. Listen, so I'm watching this videotape, and this ex-cop says he wants to confess why there's racism in the police department and all this stuff, blah, yada, yada, yada. He says, well, black people don't have any power, and they have nobody to call. Legal Shield is 24/7, 365 days in a year, access to an attorney. This helps you get somebody to call. Nevertheless, we have to work on that whole factor of policing in the black community and how they see us and how they relate to us. That whole scenario got to change. You know, we ain't no second-class citizens. We ain't no slaves. We ain't nobody to mess with. And we have to make them understand that we got people to call. So we got to stop probably developing our call-in system. Maybe we have to come with a call-in system. But I'm just saying, in the meantime, between time, having access to an attorney that you can call 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 days in a year, that's not nothing to not look at. It's something that you need to look into. So I just want to say that in terms of Legal Shield. The other thing I want to say, I keep forgetting to tell y'all, go to myprojectneo.org, my, M-Y, project, P-R-O-J-E-C-T, Neo, N-E-O, dot O-R-G. I know we've been talking about a lot of it because of the reparations programs, and which we're going to get into that in a minute with Dr. Winborn. But I want you to go there to see what we're doing, the effects we're having on the community, the social programs that we're doing, the economic opportunity that we're offering. And we have acts of kindness where people give money to other people and keep some money for themselves. It's always a situation where people want to do good, but they don't have the necessary means and resources to do it. And a lot of time I tell people, okay, if you don't have the means and the resources, a lot of times you just need a good referral agency or something else that you can refer people to get that done. We also don't want you to forget employment career opportunities with Mrs. Helena Owens. Give her a call, 718-504-6861, 718-504-6861, 718-504-6861. Call her up. Get involved. These jobs are paying $20 an hour, $15 an hour, and they don't require a whole bunch of application forms to fill out, and they're not going to ask you where you've been, who you've been with, what happened, la, 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 la. They're trying to give you an opportunity. If you're enthusiastic, you're a hard worker, you're interested in working, even if you're in another, a plus of this job is you get your foot into political environment where you can explore other opportunities in the political realm that you might want to take an advantage of, maybe be a district leader like Mr. Williams Smith that's coming on, as well as maybe you want to be a councilman, a city council, U.S. senator, state senator, whatever you want to be. Opportunities are open to you, sir, ma'am, young man, young woman. So don't forget to give her a contact. Also, we want you not to forget that the $2.3 trillion is coming down for the energy program in America, natural clean energy. They're exploring. They're doing a lot of technological experiment. They need people in universities and colleges from the technical side, engineers, architects, people that work in laboratories and things of that sort to work in helping develop this energy. And so they're going to be going to the college and universities. They're going to give them money for a four-year 6-year programs. So that's a master's, that's a bachelor's and a master's degree. So take that. We want to make sure that our young men and women in the historical black colleges also get this opportunity, that the government don't pass by a black historical college or university and walk over by and to, you know, to some other, you know, lily white college and give all the money over there. We want to make sure that they supply equally the monies to our communities. One of the major problems that we don't talk about is the unbalancing of governmental funds. The funds do not go through the black community, the poor communities. It's unequal. I happen to live in an affluent neighborhood in Connecticut, and we get everything. And then when you drive around the corner to the poor neighborhood, it's dilapidated, it's falling apart. And it affects me as well, because I have to drive through that, I have to go through that whole thing, you know, and it's not good for the persons that are living in that environment, and not good for the persons that are going through that environment. Every neighborhood should be sufficient. Every neighborhood should be financially supplied the necessary things they need. Every neighborhood should have sufficient budgeting for the school system, for the police department, for the housing, and a lot of people don't understand this. It's important for children to have parks. It's important for little kids to go to the park. I know it sounds stupid to people, to go to the park and play in the dirt, to get in a swing. That's a learning process right there. That's giving that kid social skills right there. Why do we have pre-K? Why do we have first grade? Why do we have schools? School, the purpose of a school, really, other than giving a person a good education, is to make a rounded, well-rounded person. It's to give that person social skills. That's why they want kids to go to school, so they'll know what a black person is, a white person, a yellow person, a green person. But unfortunately, the school system's not teaching those types of skills. But that is the purpose. So, ma'am, sir, let's not let this government that's in there now that begged us profusely to support them, and black sisters went out and supported in blocks of voting, and they got, I mean, y'all know, everybody knows, it's no big secret, Joe Biden was dead. He was dead out of, he wouldn't have made it, not for South Carolina, brought him back to life. Black women, black men brought him back to life. No, we're not going to bring you back to life so you can kill us off. No, we want which belongs to us. Everybody in America always talks about, oh, I voted for you, I got you in. And these neighborhoods that are well-to-do, they get the politician to come back and to give them what they need. The poor communities don't get it. We have to yell a little louder. We have to scream a little more. And we have to make these politicians understand you're not going to pass us by when it comes to compensating us. I'm not saying tit for tat, but compensating the communities that's supposed to be compensated. The problem with the black community is we do not get subsidized properly by the government for nothing, for education, for health care, for policing, sanitation, infrastructure development. None of that is happening in the black community, and that's why it's falling apart. No more of that. We're going to go forward and let them know we know what's going on, and they have to make a change. So with that all said, we just want you to remember those items. We want you to remember the website. We also wanted you to remember we have an office up in Mount Vernon. You can call 914-363-9007. You can email me, Rev Ron, the number 11, at gmail.com. And we're going to be doing more things in the community. Things are opening up with the pandemic. I'm not really so gung-ho about all this opening up and everybody just taking off masks and kissing and hugging and carrying on. You know, that ain't for me. I ain't doing no kissing and carrying on with nobody but, you know, my significant other, you know, whenever that happens. But the deal is they're opening up, and there are opportunities to do certain things with caution and precaution. So we'll go on from there. Now, at this time, we're going to bring on the man himself. I believe that he's ready. We want to talk a little more in-depth and more technologically about the reparations program and get really deep into it, because some big things are getting ready to happen. And my brother and my sister, I don't want you to miss out on what's going to happen with this reparations program. You know, Dr. James W. Winborn is a great man. I told you all when I was a little kid, I watched him, you know, and I said, Jesus, one day I can be like him. I can be tall, dark, and handsome and smart and get a lot of dates. I'm good to go. So we're going to bring him on. We're going to talk a little bit about everything, and we're going to talk about the reparations program and what's going to be happening this summer, and I don't want y'all to miss out. Don't say I didn't tell y'all. Don't say, Ron, you didn't tell me about reparations program. Everybody got millions and thousands of dollars now, and I'm left out. I'm telling y'all, this thing is happening. Bitcoin started as a penny, and now it's $56,000. The same thing going to happen with the reparations program, y'all. If y'all let it sleep on it, it's going to pass you by. So don't let it sleep on it. Let's bring on the man himself, Dr. James W. Winborn. Give him a nice hand, people. You know how y'all do.
Thank you.
I want to bring you on early because you know what? People really, maybe in a romper room way, maybe you can simplify the process for them so they can understand this thing is getting ready to explode like Bitcoin. And I'm telling my people, don't miss out on this. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I mean, listen, I concur. I mean, it's amazing what we have. And again, you know, like I'm always saying, I'm just grateful to God to be a part of it and to be a part of what's coming down the pike and what's about to happen with this system that have been, you know, that have manifested itself through our efforts and throughout our meditations and our prayers and our focus and speaking things to an existence and trying to understand and letting people know that it got to be a better way, that there is a better way. There's a better way for us to handle our funds and money. And all of this came about because of the crises that have happened. You know, I started contemplating this back when they had Black Friday and we had the first fallout. Back with Obama, and they had to do, you know, all the banks and everything went out of business. And now we are in that situation again. Excuse me. And we've come up with something that we know is really, really going to change the game. And we are bringing it to the world. Right now, we're working the system amongst ourselves. Figuring out all the stops and whistles and finding out all the nooks and crannies of what the system will do. We were talking to the developers today, adding some more whistles to it to make sure we've covered all the areas. And, I mean, listen, we are putting together in this reparation program, there's so many facets to it, but we've been working on this week. This is what has consumed us this week with the project, and that is we are building the black market element within the self-reparation system, where we are creating like our own internal Amazon for black people and black businesses. And things are quickly coming together. You don't want to miss this. You want to be a part of it. And it's a real easy system. We've created something that is called the National Negro Treasury. All you have to do is when you sign up, you pick a package, and you're going to get some items, a T-shirt, a hat, a ring, a cup, a book. And along with that is going to come an income opportunity to create financial independence within the system. Now, what's going to happen with that money that you gave is going to be put in the treasury, and we circulate that money. All funds go into one area, like you know what it's like. Here's the best way I can describe it, Dr. Robinson. Right. You ever wonder how Federal Express, the messaging company, can guarantee a package overnight all around the world? You ever wonder how they do that?
Definitely.
So I found out how they do that is they have a hub. So at night, all the planes fly into the hub. They switch the packages and then fly back out. Real easy and simple. And that's kind of like what we do. We take all the funds and we put it into a pot. And then when your name come out, we're going to give you a little piece of it. Ask you to go do a mission, what we call reparation missions. You complete that mission, that's going to qualify you to do a bigger mission. You don't have to do nothing but sign up. But now there are other opportunities built within the system. You can sell our products from our store. You'll make money that way. We've licensed this to be multi-level marketing. You can recruit other activists, bring them on, and build you a business within the business. You can make money that way. So there's three income opportunities just with that built into the system, and all you have to do is sign up. And you only have to sign up one time. Now, listen, you can sign up and you can get in as many times as you want to get in. But you're under no obligation to keep getting in. But you would want to get in. And not only would you want to get in as many times as you can get in, you want your mama to get in, your daddy, your uncle, your brother, your sister, and you want them to get in as many times as they could get in. And then not only that, the way the system is set up is so beautiful now that you can get in where you fit in. You might say, well, you know, I don't want to start from the beginning. I want to start someplace closer to the finish line where I can, my funds will gather together and I'll be getting a bigger piece of the pot. You can do that also. It's a wonderful thing. We are going to change the economic system for black people all around the world, not just in America, all around the world. Our system as it is right now, we can do currency in Ethiopia. We can do currency from Nigeria. We can do currency from Ghana. This is an international operation that we're putting together for black people all around the world. You want to know, wow. From all around the world, we have people that will be putting in little pieces and taking out and spreading it around because it's all about circulation. So as I always say, the reason why this system is needed is because in other communities, funds are circulated plenty of times before it leaves the community. The Asian community, 16 times. The Jewish community, 23 times. There is no circulation in our community. It stays 6 hours before we have to take it out of the community to maintain our level of lifestyle. Our system is going to put an end to all of that nonsense.
Great, great, great. I just wanted to say, if I can intervene here for a minute, Brother Shalik had a guest running for district leader in the Bronx.
All right.
Mr. William Smith. I think this might be him right here. I'm open up mic 347-833. Your mic is open. 347-833, your mic is open. Can you hear me? That's not it? Okay. All right.
All right.
Okay. Sorry about that, Dr. Winborn. Go right ahead with your
thoughts. No. We want to make sure our guests get in. I'm here running my mouth all the time. So, absolutely. We want to make sure that we hear from our guests that are calling
well,
in.
I want to say this if I can. If I can make an analogy very quick. I want to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know how the old man is. You know how you get old. You got to say what you got to say quick because you'll lose it. Check this out, people. Bitcoin was a penny, I think, what, about 5 years ago? Something like that? Five years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. But whatever the years ago, 5 years ago, whatever, when it came to existence, it was a penny. You know what drove it to $50,000, where it's at right now, people? It's you. If people did not go to the demand of the Bitcoins, it would still be a penny. But the fact that so many people collectively came together, it went from a penny, 2 pennies, 5 pennies, 10 cents, a dollar, $10, $15, and they had a song in Trinidad called 10 cent, 15, 10 cent, dollar, 10 cent. Yeah, I remember that song in Trinidad. But that's what happens, people.
Right. And you know what else that's applicable to? And I think, people, you got to understand this. The I don't know what it is, the lotto, the mega millions or whatever it is right now, I think is at back at $550 something million, right?
Wow.
You did that. You did that. You drove that pot up to that by putting money in, and they didn't take any of the money out. So what they went, but then once somebody get a lucky ticket, then they're going to take all that money and give it to that one person. What we're saying is you get into our system, the money's going to go into the pot, and we're going to circulate it amongst everybody. That's the beauty of our system. And
I'm telling you, yeah.
And the minimum, you know, you can get in as starting at $8, less than, you know, just around the price of two cups of coffee at Starbucks.
Mm.
You could be
and
on your way
to
freedom.
I want everybody to realize something, okay? Business 101, okay? Supply and demand. If your supply is high, your price is low. If your supply is low, your price is high. But everything is matriculated by numbers. It's a number game, the matriculation, multiplicity, meaning that it multiplies itself. When a person buys a home for $100,000, by the time they finish that 15-year, 30-year mortgage, that house don't pay for they don't pay like $600,000, okay, for a $2,000 home. Because
right.
Multiplicity. That's to show you the power of math, the power
right.
of multiplying. And another thing I want to understand this too, you know, because a lot of people don't understand this. While y'all sitting and procrastinating trying to talk about eight doggone dollars, which y'all go into McDonald's and spend $12 and $15 for one person, okay, which ain't going to bring you back nothing. While y'all sitting there and trying to wonder about it, sitting back and playing Sunday morning quarterback, let me tell you something. You're missing out an opportunity because it's only driven by you. Like Dr. Winborn said, if we don't all get together, all of us, you mean tell me a million black people ain't got $8? Come on, y'all. I know at least everybody, black person, what that thing, I need shoes, you need shoes, all God's children need shoes. I got $8,
yeah.
You got $8, all God's children got $8. Come on, y'all now. Y'all know
right.
that y'all, If sneakers went for $8 tomorrow, y'all be running over there buying every pair you can get your hands on. I'm telling you, this is a program where you never have to worry about money. If we come together, if we get 100,000 people, 250,000 people, you'd be surprised the type of finances that we'll have matriculating every month that's going to change the course of your financial life. You'd be surprised, okay? But it's only $8. I can understand if it was $800,000, $8,000, maybe even $800, but it's only $8. And when you see what it does for $8, you're going to damn sure say, let me get in for $1,000, $2,000, $800, because it's mind-boggling to me. It's mind-boggling to me. But I know it takes time for people to gravitate towards good things. But for me, we have an old saying in South Carolina, I don't have to eat a whole hog to know I'm eating pork. Come on, y'all. You know, I don't know y'all. I'm probably the only one from South Carolina that know what that means. But anyway, people.
Yeah, I've never heard that word before, but go ahead.
Stick around a little longer. I'm going to tell you a whole bunch of stuff you ain't heard. But seriously,
yeah,
people. We need y'all. We need y'all, brothers and sisters. We talk about collective advocacy. We talk about collective and cooperative communities. We talk about the village, raising the child. All that stuff is talking about doing things together and not going to separate. The one thing we can do together that's going to make a difference is our money. You know what I was saying, Dr. Winborn, put your money where your mouth is. That means stop talking and do something. You know, so $8, people, you know, go to my project, NEO, my project, project, neoneo.com/revron. Y'all know the name. And go there and sign up. My brother, my sister, sign up. Y'all know it's a simple name. It don't take a lot to remember that.
you know, because I'm listening, and I'm glad I didn't stop you, because I almost stopped you and said .org. But listen, I appreciate that. Was real slick. You turned the PSA into your own personal advertisement. That was real good. I like that. Go right to where he said. Go right to where he said.
So I'll say it again. My NY Project, PROJECT, NEO, NEO, .org /REVRON, and sign up. Sign up, sign up, sign up. Listen, people, we're going to have a fabulous 2021, 2022 if you sign up. But it ain't going to happen until we all come together. And I know all God's children got $8. Everybody got $8, you know. Even the man on the corner, he begged up about $16, $25, $30 for about 4 or 5 hours, but he has $8. So it's a life change, and it's going to be a life change. The beautiful thing about it is it's going to change all of our lives. It's going to put all of us in a situation of financial security going forward. So, you know, get on board.
Get on board. And so what we're going to be doing in a few weeks, we're going to be announcing exactly when we're going to do. I think we're going to be doing it on a Saturday afternoon, I believe. I'm not sure yet. And we're going to do the report that we're calling the reparations report. And we're going to be talking about those people that are in the system, those people that are paid. I don't know if we're going to yet talk about how much they've got paid, but we're going to talk about the various acts that have gone out there, and we're going to acknowledge those people that are doing life-changing things. And it's not just about, listen, people, it's not, and I tell people, this is not just a company. We're not doing this just as a company, but we're doing this as a way to offer an opportunity, an alternative to our people everywhere. And this is more, I see it more as a movement than a company. And so we want everyone to be a part. We need everyone's help. We need everyone to be serious about it because, listen, these are serious times. We are in war, whether we
Amen.
Believe it or not, whether we fully understand it or not. And the war is a physical war, a war of police brutality, and we can talk about that, and I want to talk about, you know, we need to talk about Letitia James and what she's doing here in New York. Whether you realize it or not, that there's a war going on, and we need to prepare ourselves. And one of the ways to prepare ourselves is to find a way to keep funds within our community and keep funds circulating amongst ourselves. That's what's going to make us stronger. We will have our own. We can use this system as a way of creating our own, where we can have our own hospitals, have our own security forces, have our own. That's what this is about. We don't have Amen. Anything. And this system has been designed to make sure that we don't get anything. All right, we've been seeing examples over and over and over again. How long are we going to keep doing the same damn thing, think we're going to get different results?
Exactly.
How long are we going to keep playing that game? How long are we going to keep playing the employment game? How long are we going to keep going to the plantation and working on the plantation just hard enough so that we don't get fired and then paying us just enough so that we don't quit and keep you in a cycle?
There you go.
And never being able to break out of that cycle. Here's a way to do it. If we get serious about it and appreciate it for what it is, there's going to be naysayers. There's always going to be naysayers. There's always, and it's going to be, there's always some of us too that's going to be naysayers. All right, because in every movement, every rebellion that the slaves had, there was always one of us talking about why is we leaving? Where is we going? Now's not the time to do it. I don't know about this Underground Railroad head talking about. There's always one. There's always some of us that just don't get it.
Amen.
But now is the time for us to come together. Now is that time.
I want to bring the host here, Shalik. He's been saying nothing, and let him contribute to the conversation as well.
Well, you know, my whole, I'm just listening. You know, honestly speaking, my mind state,
I'm the type of person that I don't dwell on things over and over again. I mean, one thing I can see is that history repeats itself, and it only repeats itself if individuals allow it. I'm a realist. I don't appeal to the philosophy of those that I don't appeal to the philosophy of failure. Failure is not an option to me. I don't entertain the philosophy. I entertain pretty much things towards taking active steps. I don't really subscribe to those to the opinions or the belief system in terms of what's being promoted. What I can say with myself, you know what I'm saying, as far as being an example, is that there are people out there, and I know this to be true, that are active, they're doing things, you know what I'm saying, and that's the truth. You know, you got young entrepreneurs over, you know, there's so many young, I'm talking about young black entrepreneurs who are on computers creating all types of systems. There's a new system. The system that, like, what we're really talking about, it's outdated in thought. It's outdated. It's a paradigm. A paradigm has already shifted. And and for those who may not understand what I'm saying is that there's a lot of philosophies, a lot of isms that's going on. But one of the things that is certain is that you have to surround yourself around people who are active, man, and that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, it's funny, it's sad, but it's true. And you know what I come to realize? I come to realize this, man, is that certain things are just going to happen. It's just going to happen, and that's the sad reality. No matter what type of lessons it's been taught, I mean, I listen to you guys. I enjoy listening to it, you know, but, you know, it's 20 years, 25 years, and I'm a generation maybe a step down from that, and I've experienced it even in my own generation, my own bloodline, and it's the same story. The only person that changes the narrative is the individual. So my whole concept is that we're right now, like, I don't know if any individuals or people listen, but the stuff that we're talking about, that we're dealing with, is outdated. It's outdated. We're talking about people who are creating networks, 5G networks, 2G networks, 3G. Right now, we're in an era going towards what they call a 6G network. And I don't know if anybody really understands what's going on. And you know what I come to realize? It's a language, right? And when people don't understand it, it goes over their head, and if they happen to live long enough, if they see it, if they don't, it doesn't matter. Because the system, one thing I come to realize is, like, the system is not designed to be changed. Because we didn't create it. The system was created for us. We were born into the system. The only thing you can change is our destination in terms of how we handle things and the example that we set. So I mean, I look at it like, you know, when I look at the fact that Israel had what they call an Iron Dome. I don't know if y'all seen that, man. But you know, I sat here and I watched the Iron Dome, of invisible force field. People were sitting on their buildings, and they were watching the missiles as it wasn't penetrating the force field, and they were still conducting business. Still, like, hey. You know, what we consider in America, 4th of July, we pick and choose to celebrate. And you know the sad thing about, you know, a lot of times, you know, like when I look at your errors, I look at your error, and I look at my error, and I say, wow, it's sad, because there's a cycle that becomes perpetuated even within our own culture and our community, right? So when we don't want to make certain efforts and we start kicking and screaming and fighting and all types of ramping. But, you know, it's just what it is, man. It's like
until people, you know, wake up, until we begin to care for our own in terms of our community, members of our community, it's going to be the same way. You know, I mean, I've seen brothers when I...
You're correct in terms of forward.
I just want to share this real quick because I remember just 60 days ago, right? The same thing that you may have been going through from the South to 25 years, right, with Martin Luther King and all of the civil rights, Panthers and all of that, I went through that 25 years in prison. The same shit. And you know what? Like I said, when I was inside of the wall, right? Because I when I posed the question, right? This is what makes me laugh. Like I asked the person that. Oh, by the way, he called me for everybody that's listening. He said he's at an event right now and he's unable to make it, but he's going to try to make it. He's going to try to postpone another time. So I asked him a question. I was on the phone with him for hours as he was handing out tracks, and he got different responses. Some people said, yo, stop putting it under my door. People are doing bomb threats, and that could be, you know, somebody could be trying to don't. You know, he's trying to educate the community and the public about vote and things of that nature. He's the power of voting. And one brother, while I was on the phone, the brother told him, he said, I don't vote. You know what I'm saying? And I was telling him, I said, yo, tell a brother to get on the phone. Tell him to listen to the phone. I said, brother, you say you don't vote, but you purchase. You have purchasing power. You buy things, right? You go into the store right now. He said, yeah, but that ain't what one got to do with the other. I said, because voting power is the same as spending power. Spending is voting power. It is. You're casting a vote every time a person buys a product with a company that does not favor or do anything for their community. That's a vote. It's a piece of paper that's being distributed and it being exchanged for an item. And so what happens is that when you talk, numbers tell a story. The money goes out of the circulate. It doesn't circulate within the black community, like Dr. Winborn said. And it's the truth. And many times, members. It's not everyone because there are individuals who are, like I said, you know, you have this radio station, and you have individuals. But like I said, you know, I asked them this question. What's the point? I asked them this question. I said, when does rehabilitation start? I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm not trying to below. I just want to just ask a question because I said there's a common response, right? And I said, I just wanted to make a point. And I said, I just want to ask you, when does rehabilitation start, right? And he says, well, when you're in prison. And I said, then that defeats the purpose of why you're out there. See, you're out there to be a product of change, right? And you're taking a step towards representing issues in the community as preventative steps towards a long-term problem that could occur, meaning that you're trying to prevent incarceration. See, this is what happens. Like you said, Dr. Robertson, the concept, it's just like you ask a person why they go to college, and people say, I go to college to get a job. But that's not what college is for. College is to build networks and to teach you how to be independent. But most people go in with a worker's mentality, so they get what they see. So when you're talking about the playgrounds are designed to create social interaction, to create social skills so that you can create a community. And so when you were able to create a community, the community is able to thrive through what? Through the sharing and the recycling of resources. And so what happens is this. My point to the brother was that's not I'm saying you have your answer. And most people outside, it suffices to be true, because that's been always the common thing, is that when you have something that feels as though it cannot be rehabbed, it's like a real estate, right? You see an abandoned house,
the first thing that happens is that if it cannot be rehabbed, you destroy it. You tear it down. Why? Because you have to build something new to build up something that does not depreciate and keeps up the value. So what happens is that what we come to not understand is that rehabilitation never starts in prison. It will never start. It will never start in prison. It wasn't designed to start in prison. The purpose of prison was to extract and put individuals in a – but the process was because no parks, no jobs, no access. It's not that it's not no jobs. The jobs are there because the school system is designed to create those type of laborers' mentality. To have – when you ask common questions, it's somebody say, man, it's common sense, you know. And they don't understand why a person would come out, right, and go back to prison. Why? But what they don't understand is that the mind state of what they think prison is for. Prison is not made to rehab an individual. It was never made that way. The rehabilitation comes from the community and the sharing of those resources. And if those resources are not plentiful and if they're not circulating within their environment for socialization to take place and social development to carry further and forth, then you get those things and you get those answers because you create a distressed environment in which an individual is seeking to thrive and survive and will and not saying that they will make the choice, but the numbers don't lie. The numbers tell a story. And the numbers say, well, if some of them will survive, but the likelihood of some of them not surviving will end up either dead or in prison. Or they'll be forced to move out of the neighborhood, right? So my whole concept is that the concept of how we see or how we've been seeing things thus far, we've actually, a lot of us, been lying to ourselves. Because I want to hear stories. When I want to hear the facts. I want to hear individuals mobilizing towards going to see these brothers that are not going home. These brothers who keep job security and keep the system perpetuated, not by their own will, but by the design of the people who designed this structure to allocate those funds out of the neighborhoods and the communities that they're being extracted from, right? And being those resources that could be used for community centers from the communities in which they're distracted from is creating these distressed environments is being utilized in the counties in which they're being housed in the prison areas which they're getting those incentives. But I don't hear that talk. You know why? Because this is not the reality. This is not the truth that individual want to say, oh, he talking something. No, I'm talking pure facts, and I got everything to back it up. I got paperwork to back it up. I got everything to back it up. Everything I say right now, I can prove it. See, these are the things that it's more than just the park. It's the allocation of where the resources are going out. So now, when I ask for a loan, the bank already knows that they're not going to get me the loan for production of what to do what, or they're going to give me hell to do things for my community, to do things that I can help to employ individuals. You see what I'm saying? For certain projects, for the development of those who need to come out, who need to reintegrate back into the community through prison reform programs, right, which that can help to train them for job placement so that they can be a resource, a human resource in their community so that they can set an example and be a product of change in their community and their neighborhoods. However, those things, it's hard to get because those banks are saying, I can't tell you that you can get the loan because you're going to utilize that in neighborhoods that we don't want, it's not designed for you to do.
No, I understand what you're, I understand clearly what you're saying. And what I'm saying is you're right. But one token of everything, too, is that all throughout society and experiences, there are always a few people that make it successfully. What doesn't happen is that people don't empower people. So this might be your passion, what you're saying. It might be your ability. God might gifted you to be the catalyst and the change for that particular type of system. But now, it might not be for me, but if I can empower you, if I have my finances, my own finances, and I can empower you to do to handle that business, then we all prosper.
No. What you're saying? No, I understand what you're saying. I'm saying it on this level, right? Right. This is a proven fact. When I used to go, let me show you something. Right. I was involved with right now because Bard College has a tutorial on YouTube. Bard College was on 2020 when I was incarcerated. I was in Bard College. All right. So what I wanted to share with you is this. Bard College initially had and still has today majority young white professors, 21 and up. They're 21 and up professors teaching a population, right? And you don't have black people as far as upstate. Now, what you do have is in Sing Sing, you have a young black sister who has the theological seminar, who she has to struggle with. She does the donation, and now she gets the donations, right? And so basically, you know, but and basically, honestly speaking, she was the first sister that started when they stopped Pell Grants. They stopped prisoners from paying for their own education and getting Pell Grants. Well, all right, so what's the point? The point is that Bard College is maybe in the top 50 of what they call an elite college or whatever the case may be. They basically have a system where the members of their community, right, to pay for their students to get past. And so let's say I'm a white person and my daughter and my son goes to that college. I donate $250,000 to the disenfranchised and the undesirables, and I've been paid for my degree, and I get my child. So based on white privilege, right, there's a thing that goes on where in applications, it's not saying that you can't, a black person or a person who is undesirable from a urban community can't go to these schools. It's a point system. A point system that every college has when it comes to the Ivy League schools that they initiate that says that they have to, due to them teaching higher education and knowing that their communities are designed. This is what I'm saying. I'm not talking about, see, when we're talking, we're speaking on what should be, on an ideal level, right? It should be like that. And I'm not talking, I'm saying, but the system is designed for failure. It's designed a certain way. It's designed for the rate of infidelity to affect the urban communities and all black communities around the world a certain way. There is a specific design that cannot be denied. There is a systematic racism that goes on from the school system on up, which is an actual fact. Many people are racist and don't even know that they're racist. So what I'm saying is, is a fact in regards to when you're looking at a department in our system that shows you, that doesn't show you, it doesn't, it has what they call the iron curtain, right? And it doesn't tell you the God's honest truth. It tells you the truth that basically is like, if you slip through these cracks and you make it, may God bless you. But the God's honest truth is that the design of the system is made for us to fail. Now, of course, you have more black millionaires than ever before in this lifetime, and that's to be true. That's to be truthful. But if you look at the policies that have been passed and you pay attention to the money and politics go hand in hand. They sleep in the same bed together. So I can tell you why. I can show you policy. I can show you policy. Right now, here's it, like I told you, and I said this before, and I'm not going to keep saying it again, but I'm just saying it like this. There's guys based on policy, based on the policies of the Pataki administration that has housed over thousands of prisons in New York State that during the time of the 80s, who are now, during Cuomo's Cuomo had initiated individuals at the board, those guys are now coming home under his administration. So there's a ton and a stream of lifers. Every policy that has been passed and bills that has been talking about increasing the prison population excluded individuals with life in prison. Who keeps the prisons running? It's those with life. It's not those that got small time. It's not those that got 5, 10, 15. It's those with life. Every bill that has been passed excluded lifers. So I'm not here to talk about prison. I'm not here talking about, yo, No, what I'm saying is that I'm talking about a system. And you know the funny thing about it is that the system is designed to the degree where when you do not play ball, then you start to see the ugly hand. You know, it almost goes back to when the Indians were given blankets, diseased blankets, indigenous people, right? Because that right there, you know, is racist in a sense. So you say the indigenous people were given blankets, but the blankets were designed to wipe them out anyway. But they came in the form of Thanksgiving and sat down and ate with them, only to infiltrate to make sure that they'd wipe out that whole camp. So this is what is an ongoing process, is that, you know, you come into the neighborhood, you come into the community, and there's always this plan. There's always this plan. There's always been a plan. It went from the dope game. It went from the migration, right? Because, look, I used to play the keyboard, and I played gospel music for the church for 12 years in the prison system. You know, I'm a musician, self-taught. Read music theory, study music theory for more than 3.5 years. I can't read and write Mandarin that well, but I've been introduced, self-introduced, self-taught Chinese. And then you ask me, you say, well, why would he learn Chinese? He don't even learn Swahili. And he from out? No. See, what happened was this. I paid attention to the economy way before I came out. I had already seen the trend. You pay attention, you see the trend. You follow the money, and you see where the trend is going. All you got to do is follow the money. And I've been in a system where I was a product of an environment on a warehouse level. So it makes me laugh. It makes me laugh because of the simple fact that, hey, man, you know, and like I said, the reparations program is an excellent program for those that's listening. You know, whether it's going to cause an individual to be active and change, it's all in the eyes of the beholder. If they hopefully they'll wake up and see, because I walked with this. I didn't walk with the brother today, Mr. William Smith, but I was on the phone as he was giving out his tracts. This is a regular thing that he does. This is not something that he's just. For those who's listening, William Smith, a lot of people know who he is and vote for him, because he's the last of the Mohegan. He's a 30 years old. He's a young man, and he's the only person that I see right now in New York City that's basically trying to be a young man that's trying to fight for security of public housing, because his whole concept was that the Democrats are not bringing these issues on the table. And then you ask the question, and then you say, well, why is the price of certain properties and the rent going up in certain places where the Barclays Center is at? It's common knowledge. So I just want to be brief and just want to say to everyone that's listening, you know, be active. Take active steps. And if you're not circulating the dollars within the black community, hopefully, and I wish and I want my people, I want for me what I want for my brother. I want us all to be black and successful. But just remember that someone else out there can be helped. Hopefully, we can build other organizations or work with other organizations toward that fight and that struggle, towards trying to help to develop with better relations amongst one another in the form of community, so that we can understand the power of change and how we can collectively as a whole put our dollars and cents together towards building things that will help not only brothers that are in America and brothers and sisters who are in America
and,
struggling, but all throughout
and
the
on,
world.
And on that we're out of time, but you said a lot of good stuff, and I hope it penetrates into the minds of the folks and people next week. Come back on with us, and we have, you know, everybody knows 7 days a week we have all different shows on, so we ask you to come back and be on the show with us. We ask you to come back next Friday to Black Business Billionaires Network Club. We got some special things going to be happening during the course of the couple of weeks coming up, and so we just say God bless everybody and have a good weekend.
Spread love.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been?
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your song, it will get better.
It's got to get better.